The study of the dark arts can lead the fool to the depths of madness. However, with the proper understanding, it can serve as a catalyst to enlightenment. Learn everything you need to know about the occult. Tarot, numerology, astrology, spirit work, chaos magic, hermetic philosophy, demonology, banishing and protection, and much more. The most comprehensive course on magic available. Occult science applicable to any path without dogma or pointless rituals. Students of the Order of Chaos are free and encouraged to pursue any spiritual or religious path that they choose. Learn to hack reality. For more information, visit theorderofchaosmagic.com/mysteryschool. Knowledge is power.
Welcome back to the Order of Chaos podcast. Today, my guest is Mandy M. Mandy is the author of Witchcraft Therapy, as well as Happy Witch and her upcoming book, Feral Self-Care. Mandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on the show. You've been really inspirational to me lately.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. So I was late to the party. I got this book maybe like 3 months ago. Yeah. And it blew my mind.
Thank you.
It's exactly what I think a book of magic should be, because I don't think that a book of magic is what it used to be. Like, I have a couple ancient grimoires full of spells that say, do this, and this will happen, and that's all well and good. But your book is a book about mindset. It's about magical mindset. And that's, in my opinion, where magic really comes from.
Yeah. See, I agree. I agree there. I think that because, like, personally, I kind of go with, like, I'm not like a Wiccan witch. I'm not a traditional witch. I'm a choose your own reality witch. And so I think by that token, like, I think that the more you can get crystal clear on, like, self-knowledge and, like, knowing yourself and knowing your own intentions and being able to, like, move your own individual energy and focus your will and all of that, I think that's the root and the key. And now, you know, if somebody else has a worldview and belief where that's not the way they approach it, then I understand how that wouldn't work. But, like, for me personally, it just doesn't make sense with my, it doesn't, like, jive with my worldview and belief that if you don't have, like, a specific obscure ingredients that your, like, intentions all of a sudden don't work. Like, that just doesn't, I don't fuck with that. So I really wanted it to be something where somebody could, like, read the book, and I wanted it to be, like, super accessible and, like, super casual. So, like, there's not a ton of fancy ingredients or anything like that. It's, like, mostly just the power that we all have, whether we identify as witches or not, to, like, change our own life and to direct our will in a way that is going to be supportive for us.
100%. My opinion on that is that, you know, hundreds of years ago, we did not have this viewpoint of you create your own reality. And we didn't have anything like, you know, the fringe areas of quantum physics to back it up, or this idea of the power of the mind. What we had were, okay, I did this spell and it worked. That means if you do this, it works. And people were still figuring shit like that out. But now, okay, whatever. It's the 2020s. We have the language to describe how this works. And we have this concept that exists within so many areas of witchcraft that, yeah, you are creating your own reality through the power of your mind. And we're starting to understand that that is the root mechanism through which all this other magical stuff sprung from, right? But now we're getting to the core of it. And so that's what's really important. And I think that's what your book is really about.
Yeah. And I think that like all magic and kind of, it's kind of like everything in the world is usually a reflection of the time. Right. And so I think because we live in sort of like a very sort of like rational type of, you know, we almost over exert the emphasis on like logic and reason and all of that. But I don't think that it has to be like science and spirituality have to be in opposition. I think they kind of go hand in hand. And I think because we're in a prevailing paradigm where it is more like that, I think that maybe magic will kind of start to reflect that a little bit more as well than maybe it would have in the past, right?
Totally. And you know, this is because I'm a chaos magician, and I've said this a number of times on the show. Chaos magicians aren't one thing, right? Like I know Peter Carroll. We talk regularly, and we disagree about a lot. And then my friend Ivy the Occultist, who has a fantastic YouTube channel and talks all about chaos magic, her and I disagree about things. Disagreeing, that's part of the nature of chaos magic. It's fucking chaos, okay? If there's not some set way to do things. So for me, when I look at the use of belief as a tool, which is essentially what, you know, the core of chaos magic is, it's like, okay, if I believe this, I can manifest through these beliefs. But if I alter my beliefs, I can manifest different things through those beliefs. Therefore, and I've seen this work, there's not one belief set that's correct.
No. And like, there's not, and that's just, I think in general, in like beyond magic, like, I think as human beings, we get really like locked into these like thought systems, and we assume we kind of like are always seeking out this like unified way that makes logical sense so that we can like have our brains feel calm and in control. But I think that the whole mystery of like the, you know, universe or whatever the hell you want to call it, is that like multiple things can be true at the same time, and that you can think, you know, all of us, if we all kind of look deep down, we're all just a bundle of like contradictions, right? And I think we try and like separate and compartmentalize that, when really, if you just kind of accept it and like be unapologetic about it, it kind of can be a more of a tool, and things can open up for you because you don't get so attached to something. You don't start second guessing yourself or questioning yourself or like feeling like you're not doing X, Y, and Z properly or correctly or anything like that, which is like super boring and like not interesting at all. And so if you kind of just like go, oh, I believe this in this minute, but maybe I don't in this other minute, because, you know, we're constantly shifting, evolving, changing, etc., then I think that that just makes things just freer, and it just makes more sense. While it makes less sense, it makes more sense.
Right. Like people, and especially on the internet, right, people want to appear to have like one set of viewpoints that they never alter from, and like, this is my brand, this is my brand image, this is what I think. And then you lock yourself into that and you're fucked, because now you can't go off brand, right? You can't change your mind anymore. And I don't think that's good for people, because it's fake, right? Like you were saying, people aren't that. They aren't.
No,
they're changing. You should be able to change your mind.
Yeah, and that's why people like, they double down on shitty fucking thought systems. Instead of actually being like, it's so humbling to have to say like, oh, perhaps I was wrong, but it doesn't have to be. You can be like, oh, fuck, no. I like fucked up.
Well, being so, you know, one of the things that I always try to teach my students is that being wrong is a wonderful thing, because every time you're wrong, you're like a tiny, tiny bit closer to being right.
Yes.
And like the chances that you're actually right about anything at any given moment are like radically against you. Yes, so absolutely. Just accept being wrong, but like be better and better and better at being wrong.
Yeah. And also like, so I actually teach the same thing in my programs and things like that too, is that anytime you have a spell or a working, like quote unquote, not work, you're one step closer to knowing what does work. You were one step closer to knowing like, this felt different for this reason. This felt, you know, like maybe I didn't do this thing that I should have done. Like usually it gets us closer to some sort of inner knowledge or some sort of whatever your subjective truth in that moment would be, right? So it's never, I don't think a bad thing, right? Like it's all, I think we're all just here to like play and explore, and like magic is part of that. That's my approach to magic, is like really all about that. And so to me, I'm like, all that, you know, all the failure, all the, you know, changing your mind, all the, you know, leaning into what feels true in the moment, that all kind of, it just makes sense.
There's a kind of free flowing, but also focused magical power in that.
Yes.
When you are rigid in the way that you must do things, there, in my opinion, there's less power behind that.
There is, absolutely. And so, like, also you just end up feeling trapped by it. And so I think a lot of, like, what I see a lot of people talk about when they talk about their own spiritual practice or their own witchcraft, is consistency and stuff of that nature. Now, if something worked for you and then you keep doing that same thing and all of a sudden it's not working anymore, but you believe that's the only way that you can do it, then, and you don't update it, you don't play around, you don't explore, you don't do any of that, you're going to get stuck in that cycle where it's like all of a sudden it's not serving you and you feel like you're doing something wrong. Would really, you could just, and so like what I do is very much like intuitive, but falls, I would say, under the chaos paradigm as well, which is that like, well, I don't like, it doesn't matter how, like, I don't care how. I care about like the results, right? And so that can be different from any given point.
Yeah. And where you, like, how you're feeling that day.
Even. Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Okay. All right. So I want to, let's rewind here for a moment.
Okay.
Because I don't know this about you, right? I don't know how you got into this. Like, how did you get here? How did you end up writing a book about witchcraft?
Well, it was actually, yeah. So it's like a weird back and forth thing. So I was always like, and I think like most people, like if anybody is watching this, chances are you are a person who's interested in witchcraft, spirituality, the occult, whatever. We all have the same backstory, right? Like we are all super weird kids. We were all like always kind of drawn to and called towards this other kind of, space kind of between worlds, right? And so it's always something that seems to draw us. Now, for me personally, I kind of dabbled in you know, witchcraft and Wicca, certainly when I was a teenager, and then, you know, when I was older. But like the reason it never called to me is because I didn't like rules. Like I never was able to fuck with rules. Now, because of the fact, I think because I'm, you know, in hindsight, because I'm neurodivergent and I had trouble with mental health issues and stuff, I always kind of did these like weird symbolic actions and these weird kind of, I had these weird, you know, behaviors, which certainly some of them were more under the realm of being fueled by mental illness, but like it was these things I would kind of do to self-soothe and stuff. And so I never really considered that as a part of magic, right? Because what I had seen witchcraft as was like being Wiccan and like following the reed and like the rule, like it's just, and to me, it never called to me. Same with like Wheel of the Year, like never called to me because I didn't feel like I had a connection with those cultures or anything like that. So I kind of just always would pick it up and then be like, well, I guess I'm doing it wrong because I can't understand it. I also was very much a secular perspective. So like I never really jived with like the super intense woo stuff, you know, none of that really spoke to me. So I kind of just didn't know what I was. I just thought I was like a weirdo, which is fine. And I identified that with that for a really long time. And then eventually I just got to the point where I decided to take up the term and be okay with the fact that my brand of what I was doing was very much psychologically focused, and very much based upon intuition and using like the portal of our senses, right? So, you know, because we all have these experiences where like certain songs or certain colors, visuals, something you wear, something you hear, something you smell can unlock these different kind of frequencies inside of us, right? And they can help us kind of achieve different things. So really it was just kind of this weird back and forth until I gave myself permission to be the whatever the fuck I wanted to be. Now, there's people out there that are like, you know, witchcraft purists that would probably, you know, I've seen people say things like, oh, that's like new age witchiness or like manifesting witchiness, like call it whatever the fuck you want. I don't give a shit. Like those are just words, right? So I just do what I do and I do what I feel called to do. And that's different from day to day to day. And I think that everybody should get to do that. And so I kind of, my own experience was I was, I've had like, a bit of a tumultuous go of things since I was young. So I struggled with mental health issues for very, very many years. I was very self-destructive when I was younger. And I ended up just, my life kind of went way off the rails, right? And so to me, things like mental health, things like healing are really important to me because of all the shit that I went through. I ended up when I was when I was in my 20s, I was like a high school dropout. I had my first child when I was 19. I ended up going back to school for psychology, something that I definitely didn't think ever I'd be able to do, but I did. And so it's a huge passion of mine, not only just the kind of overcoming adversity and healing aspect of things, but also the fact that, like, fundamentally, as human beings, we kind of all are the same, more or less the same. You know, like, we are obviously very unique and beautiful, wonderful snowflakes, individuals. We're all different. But, like, at the same time, like, there's certain things like cognitive biases that we all kind of fall victim to. And it was really interesting for me when I got my degree to find out, like, evolutionarily speaking, how we adapted to be XYZ ways, or, like, socially, how we, you know, adapted to be these ways. And I was always kind of interested in the intersection of psychology and spirituality. So when I went and got my degree, I took all the electives I could on religion. So I took courses on, like, fringe religions, which included Wicca, obviously, and cult behavior, which was certainly interesting, to say the least, and then group dynamics and all of that sort of stuff, which I think led me to have the perspective that I have now. I ended up going into school for psychology. And when I left, I went into a career where I worked with adults with developmental disabilities. So in that career, I actually found that really influenced my magic, in the sense that I used to work with people who are nonverbal or maybe not able to communicate so well, with very severe behavioral and cognitive issues. And so we used to have to use, like, sensory strategies and tools to try and shift mood and shift behavior and things like that. And so it kind of gave me, I think, a really unique perspective that has influenced my practice more than any book ever could. So,
Yeah,
that's basically, like, the short version.
It sounds to me like you're combining sort of, like, this psychological model of magic, is what I would call it. And, well, I mean, I guess it's all psychological, right? But you've seen the impact that ritual or something akin to ritual can have on people, right? And so you see those two things and you realize, like, whoa, if doing this thing, this act, whatever it is, can shift someone's perspective or their mood or their feelings at any given moment. And then, you know, my way of thinking, like, I'm big on the hermetic principles. I'm always thinking as above, so below, as within, so without. Well, if you can change someone's inner world, that changes their outer world, like, fucking instantly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's crazy because you can see it in practice. Like, there's times where, you know, you'll be having the worst day ever, and then, like, a certain song will come on and it's like all of a sudden it's like you flip a switch. So it's crazy because we don't really pay attention to that, but all of these things exist independently. Our psychology is basically the way that we interface with everything that's stimulating us from the outside. So we feel as if often that we are victim to circumstance when we're not. It's just how we're filtering it, how we're interpreting it, and then how we're choosing to move based on that information.
Okay, totally. I'm going to clip what you just said because it's so cool. So I'm going to try and say the same thing, and I'm going to say it the way that I say it to my students. Okay.
Yeah.
The difference between the fool and the magician in the major arcana of the tarot is that the fool believes that he is reacting to the outside world, that the outside world is happening to him, and that he is reacting to it. The magician understands, through the hermetic principle of correspondence, that the outside world is reacting to his inner being at any given time. And that's the difference between being the fool to becoming the magician. It's just that understanding that your psychology, the way that you interface with reality, is unique to you, and you can change it, and it will change reality.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, I think, that most, like, there's so many people out there who aren't ready for that kind of personal responsibility, because it is frightening. And I
know it is a responsibility.
It is.
Once you know that, you can't go back.
You absolutely cannot. And I know for me personally, like, I struggled a lot. Like, I struggled with, like, oh my God, so much fucking shit. Right. And it was funny because in hindsight, I'm like, all self-inflicted. Like, there was, like, it was the way that I the way that I approached the world, the way that I interpreted and viewed the world, right? Because we all, so the way that I talk about it with the people that I work with is like, we all have these certain bodies of evidence that we carry with us. So like, if we were, you know, if you were abused as a child, or like all these, if you were told these certain things about you, and then that all, you know, you took that and that became integrated in your self concept and all of that, we take that and we look at that. And we assume, based on that, we make an inference that that means that the rest of our life is going to go that way. And then we act accordingly. Yeah. It shifts our energy if you're looking at it from a more like, you know, like a less kind of rational perspective, in which I think energetics is something that's going to be like backed up by science anyway. So, but like, I totally think that it's the sort of thing that we take and then we kind of, we create this runaway train with it without actually looking that, even though there is that evidence, there's all this other evidence too that we aren't looking at because we haven't patterned and conditioned ourselves to look at it. So I can look back to like my 20s when I had like literally the worst attitude in the world. Like, of course I wasn't getting better. I was not open for that as a possibility, right? Like, that was not anything that was a part of my awareness. I've been with my husband for 18 years, and it's funny because he always would be like, well, of course you're not going to get better because you identify so strongly with being a mentally ill person. Like, that was like
such
a core part of my identity. And it feels sometimes like if we let go of like trauma, or if we let go of these things that help us explain and interpret who we are, like if we let go of that, that somehow we're like, we're losing almost a security blanket. And people, the thing that shadow work is really good for is like, a lot of people don't really, they're not ready to acknowledge the ways that those harmful things are actually serving them or making them feel safe, right? And then once you start to acknowledge that and you realize that you can be safe moving forward, if you can find your own sort of anchor, your own form of safety, then it's like you can actually just choose. And this is something that a lot of people, I get worried because sometimes people are like, that's toxic. But I'm also like, yeah, but like, it's worked for me, is like, I don't want to be bogged down to that. So I, every day, just trying to choose, like, who do I want to be? What do I want my self-concept to be? Because the, what I was holding before, I know for so many years was not serving me. And I wish I could go back, but like, at the same time, I don't, because I feel like that's what brought me here.
You know what I got? I'll say this on my show, and I've said it like in other places, and people always argue with me. Okay. And some of their arguments make some sense, and I'm not going to discount that, right? But I can't stand the words toxic positivity. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it because what they're describing is not what I would call toxic positivity. I don't think those words fit, right? But positivity is never toxic. Like, being positive is a choice. And a lot of times it's a really, really hard choice. And it takes a lot of bravery and strength to get up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm not going to mope. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to be sad today. I'm going to get up and I'm going to try my hardest. That's positivity, right?
Yeah.
I've had people get really mad at me for saying that I don't believe in toxic positivity. And then they'll describe something to me and I'm like, that's not toxic positivity. That's someone bullying you.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the thing. I think it's going back to that idea that human beings just try and find this unified, like one size fits all answer. So when we look at manifesting, like the way that I approach manifesting is like, I think the idea that you can, like that sort of thing, I think that's so fucking stupid. Like, that just doesn't make any sense. And the way, again, because of my, I think everything has to be filtered through the lens of your worldview and belief. My worldview and belief is such that if I have all this responsibility to create my own reality, then so do you. And so does that guy. And so does that girl. And so does that girl.
Right.
So at what point does everybody's goals, wishes, and desires, if they're in opposition to each other, who gets to say what? So I think that there's an element of, yes, we get to choose and we get to manifest and we get to do XYZ thing, but there's also this element of existing in a chaotic soup where things, I think there is probably some sort of like weird order to things, but like, at the end of the day, I don't think we're necessarily entitled to know. And I feel like we try and make sense of it by making it like it's all got to be this way or this way. And it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. Can some illnesses get, you know, worse because of mindset and all of that? Yes, there's such a thing as psychogenic illness, right? And it's, people say,
absolutely,
people talk about it like it's all in your head, but that's not it. It's not like, oh, it's all in your head. It's no, your head is literally influencing your body to the point that
your cell in your body.
Yeah. So it's definitely a thing. But at the same time, I think this idea that like, I don't know, you could like think yourself into like, I don't know, all of that is so fucking weird to me. Like, why can't it just be something too far in the middle?
Exactly. Right. And that's what it is, something in the middle, because there is an objective reality. sort of. There's something that we're all a part of. Okay. Yeah. If like, okay, I don't know if you, I don't want to get into the question, you know, that I think every child has in their mind at some point, are other people even real? Yeah. Let's not go there. Okay.
I'm a grown up and I have that all the time. So,
right. But let's go ahead and assume that other people are real and that we're all here together. Okay. There's a group element to that. There's an objective element to it, but then there's also your own personal subjective element, and it's both things. So maybe, you know, you didn't manifest getting ill, getting cancer. That's an awful thing that happened to you that was unexpected, but does your attitude throughout your treatment, is that going to affect how well, if not, whether or not you get better? Absolutely. Yes, it will.
Yeah.
It's both things. You didn't necessarily manifest your illness, but you can make the choice to do everything you can to manifest your wellness.
Yeah.
At that point, and right?
I think that, you know, when it comes to things like toxic positivity, that seems like a toxic denial of the shadow, really, like a toxic denial of the things that are negative. You have to have balance. It doesn't mean that you have to dwell on everything and adapt, like take on victimhood as a personality trait. I don't really think that that's helpful either. So it's that's another way that it seems like things just get pushed to these extremes where it's like, there's got to be some nuance in the middle for multiple things to be true. Right.
Yeah. And even if you are a victim, okay. So here's just another example from my life. I was living in New Orleans in 2004 and I lost my house because I was a hurricane. Okay. So I was a victim of Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a thing that happened. Okay. But like, would it do me any good to mope about it? Or do I need to like put my life back together right fucking now as fast as I can?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think that everybody has kind of a different approach to that, different capacity, depending on, you know, how they've dealt with things in the past. And like, there's so many other different factors at play. I don't think that it's ever a one size fits all approach. And
certainly not.
It's really, it's interesting though, because we all have these different things and you hear these stories of people going through, you know, similar stuff, but then reacting so differently, or, you know, there's one situation where you'd think that the person would be, you know, not ever being able to pick themselves up, and they are, but then, you know, it's just such an interesting thing. But I think that there's a lot of things in life we can't control, but I think there's more that we can than we're really ever being made aware of. And I think that, I think that magic can help us do that. Spirituality can help us do that. I think that it's a dimension of the human experience. Obviously, clearly, you can tell throughout human history that it's a dimension of the human experience that I think that is not really super embraced in the current modern climate, in our culture at least. And so I think that a reclamation of that can be really helpful for trying to kind of cope with the shit life that life throws at you.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. And the reason that I do this show, the reason I do anything that I do, okay, because I was practicing magic since I was 15 years old, but I didn't start doing it the way I do it now until my early 30s.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn astrology until a couple of years ago. So much of what I know now was in the last, you know, third of my tenure as a magician. But when I learned these things, especially astrology, I mean, especially the Hermetic principles, those two really, but like with astrology in particular, something that plagued me my entire life was the thought, why am I like this? Why am I like this? Why am I like this? And now when some clients come to me and they ask me, why am I like this? I can say, that's why.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's in your chart. It's that is why. And it's not that there's anything wrong with you. This is your blueprint. This is the way that you are built. And now we can talk about the positive aspects of it that maybe you're not aware of because you're focused on the negative. We can talk about the shadow aspects of it. We can talk about everything about it and how you can use it to your benefit, what things it might, how it might affect you. But then all that aside, at least the question goes away.
Yeah.
There's no more, why am I like this? That when that question goes away, it's so relieving.
It can be very freeing for sure. And like, that's often what happens when people, you know, for example, get a diagnosis after they've been dealing with like some sort of unknown chronic illness for a long time or some sort of mental health issue. And that's why it's crazy because I know in my case, I sort of started getting interested in psychology as a way to figure out why am I like this, right? And I tried to learn everything I possibly could. And then it got to a point where I was identifying too strongly with it. But it can be so helpful to have like, it can be very helpful to have sort of a framework to sort of understand yourself in. And I know that, you know, I don't, I'm not like an astrology person, although your read was like spot on, but I will say that I've heard that it's so helpful for people when they do get astrology reads and things like that for just a little bit of self-understanding. Right. And all that, in my opinion, with my, like the way that I look at things, I'm like, all that's really doing is giving you a little bit of permission to accept yourself for who you are. Right. Totally. And so, and it's something that's really important. And I think we're just not really conditioned or encouraged to do that is accept ourselves for who we are in the sense of like how messy we are. Right. Because the thing is, we're also very hypocritical, our species, in the sense that we'll share all these memes about like being yourself and like, you know, oh, we care about mental health and this, that, and the other. But then like certain shit happens and people show their whole ass because it's clearly people don't back that up with action, or, you know, it's like, it's just something that we like to say. Like, for example, I had postpartum psychosis at one point. And it's the sort of thing where you see people say like, oh, I, you know, I'll see people shame like some mom that like loses her shit on her kids in public. And like, I think we can all agree as parents, like we want to do our best. We don't want to show up and be like traumatizing or kill children or anything like that. But whenever I see that, it's always interesting to me that we don't ever stop and think like maybe this woman has, you know, a postpartum issue. Maybe, you know, like we just don't think about that. It's like we only support the like, the idea of a mom being sad rather than somebody that's actually experiencing something that maybe it's like we cherry pick what to support.
Totally.
Yes. And we see that too with like men's mental health. We're like, yes, we care about men's mental health. But then like if a dude does anything, it's like they just get like shit on. So it's like a very, it's interesting. It's again, I think humans doing this thing where we just are like, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, no, we totally, people are very black and white. And very much people are swung by the pendulum of life. Like they're pushed in one direction, then they agree with everything over here. Then they're pushed in another direction. They agree with everything over here. They agree with the mob. There is a real thing. Okay. Wait. But listen. So I just want to say one of the reasons that you have been inspirational to me is that I've been watching your lives and you just rant and you just go and go and go and go and go. And I've been afraid to do that a little bit on this show, but I find that when I do it and watching you gave me a little bit of bravery to do this more, I get more out. I say more of what I actually mean to say, even if I don't say it in the right order. So in that spirit, I'm going to go back just a little bit because you were talking about sort of the energetics and the hierarchy of how things work. And I wanted to say, I have an idea about that. I'm not going to say like, this is what it is, but I do feel that people who take more self-responsibility, who take just more action to take control of their own lives, however they want to phrase that, right? You have an aura. Your aura isn't like, oh, it's Purple Man thing from like the 60s. It's an electromagnetic field that surrounds your body. It's measurable. It's real. Okay. Yeah. When you have a better mindset, your field is stronger. People who have a really weak, chaotic mind have a weak, chaotic electromagnetic field. So people with a stronger field are more influential over people with weaker fields. And then there's also the collective field. And the collective field is also influencing all the individual fields. It's just this game of influence.
Yes. And like,
that's, and I think why that's what's going on.
And that's why I think like the energetics piece is going to be validated at some point. I don't think it's that far off. But it is, I see it as a language that you're all speaking in, whether we're aware of it or not. So what happens is if you are somebody who carries a belief that something, you know, a belief that people are going to respond to you in a certain way. And then it really influences your energy. It influences the way you carry yourself. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because again, it's this thing that we all kind of are emitting. And when it comes to your field, it's like someone could say something to you. And like, I've seen this in action, because my husband doesn't struggle with anxiety like I do. And so we'll hear someone say the same thing and I'll be like, oh my God, do you think they meant this? And he's like, I did not pick up on that at all, because it went through my field. It picked up, it kind of like, if you look at a brain scan where certain pieces light up, it lit up all my wounds. And so then
it was colored by your previous experiences. Yeah.
So, but for him, it didn't have that necessarily. So it's kind of like, you know, if you're about to go do a job interview, whether or not you think you are worthy of getting that job is going to influence your energy. It's going to influence the way you come across. It's going to influence the way that the person who is hiring is going to see you, right? If you're shifting your eyes all over the place, if you're fidgeting, if all of that is coming from a place of unworthiness, they're not going to know that. They might think you're not trustworthy because depending on what's in their field, right? So it's all this way that we all communicate with each other without actually being aware of it. Now, if you're a person who's interested in energetics or magic or spirituality or anything like that, usually you're like you have a little leg up because you know that it exists and you believe in it, right? So it's part of your worldview and belief in the sense that you believe that you can intentionally influence it, which I think is definitely it's like a little cheat code, really. Because
totally,
then you can like work on it rather than just be like, "Oh, life is happening to me." Like, nah.
yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to touch on a couple things you said there. One thing I wanted to say was that I think it's cool that you took a secular approach to magic.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I teach in my school. Oh, and I forgot to do this real quick. If you're interested, enrollment in the Order of Chaos Mystery School is now open at any time. We've switched the format. We're not doing live classes anymore, as I had far too many people coming who wanted to be in the class that couldn't make it because they're in different parts of the world, this, that, or the other thing. We've changed the format. Now you get pre-recorded videos, one every day, followed by a quiz. You can join the school anytime. So if you're interested, link will be in the description. Okay, now back to what we were saying. Fuck, I lost my place. I'll edit this. what were we saying just there?
I don't know. I got really into the description of the school.
Shit, what were we talking about?
Like magic.
Yes.
We were talking about energy fields.
Yeah, but no, there's... Oh, so I was saying that I appreciate your secular approach. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So,
okay. So can I say something about that though? That's based on my worldview and belief up till this point. This is the thing. Like, that could change tomorrow. What if I have some encounter with like a goddess or some shit tomorrow? Like, I'd be like, what the fuck? But like, I think for me
personally, that happened to me.
Yeah. And so like, I think for me personally, like, you know, it's funny because like I joke because it's my Virgo sun Capricorn moon that I'm super skeptical, but I think a lot of it is self-preservation because I've actually been hospitalized for seeing and hearing things that are not there. So I think that like there's a healthy amount of staying grounded that is important to me, but like I do believe again because I think that nothing can be fixed. I think you're because of the whole, you know, chaos aspect of things, I think that it's not like I don't believe that's true. And so when I've worked with people, I used to have a coven. I would try and really, it's not like I'm asserting that that's the way things are. That's the way things are in my worldview and belief based on how I interface with reality and how I perceive it, right? But like, I am completely 100% okay with knowing that I have friends who have experiences like that. And I don't think that my worldview and belief doesn't make their experiences any less true. So I think, again, that's multiple things can be true at the same time. I don't need one single answer. I don't require that. And I don't think any of us deserve it, to be honest.
I completely agree. And so, yeah, this is something I teach in my course. There are several models of magic, right? So there's one that's the predominant one, the spirit model, in which magic is performed through or with the assistance of spirits. Almost all religions are based on the spirit model. But there are other models. Okay, there's the simulation theory model in which you could completely replace all this talk about gods and spirits with coding language, and it still works. Or you could use the mind model or the psychological model in which all the spirits and gods are aspects of your own psyche. Guess what? It still works. These are just languages. And so, you know, when I was talking about astrology, like I talk about psychology, I guess, through the lens of astrology, because that's what I understand. But if that doesn't work for you, talk about it. It's not to say that that's the only way to talk about it. We're just saying the same thing in all these different ways. And hopefully what I want, you know, what I would love is to see more people just latch on to one of these ways to realize that they are powerful.
Yes.
Whichever way it is, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Like, And by the way, for those of you listening, if you want to hear some craziness about the spirit model, go watch the last episode with David Shoemaker, right? Like, spirit is really intensely powerful to people who put their belief into it, they will have those experiences. Like, if you talk to spirits, they will talk back.
Yes. Yeah. And I've had experiences with that as well. And so it's funny because I always feel like I don't fall. I always fall in the middle of things, which is fine. I think that that's something that I definitely manifest, because most of my worldview and belief is in the middle of things. But like, my secular approach is mainly to the point that I don't really approach my practice as a religion. When it comes to spirit and things like that, I think that I definitely have more of an open-minded approach. So it's really interesting. I like, instead of doing deity work, I work with archetypes, right? Instead of, you know, there's absolutely spirits even in my house, and we know who they are and we communicate with them. And like, I, you know, am somebody that is very connected with nature, and I really love psychedelic medicine. And so I really think that there's all sorts of things around us. Yeah. And I, you know, so I do kind of hold space for that spirit model as well. But it's really funny, because just what I've found for consistency for the language that I speak internally based on my experiences, my education and stuff, I definitely approach my own practice as more of a psychological kind of tool. But there's definitely a lot more of the like energetics, woo, spirituality kind of stuff in my practice than even a lot of the people that identify as secular skeptics would accept. And I think that's the beauty of witchcraft in general. Like, I don't even, that's the thing, if it comes down to the name like that, there's always this like, is that real witchcraft and blow, like, who gives a fuck, throw the name out then, like, Jesus, just fuck off. Like, so
exactly.
It becomes this thing where it's just, you know, really trying to get in touch with the spiritual dimension and the mental dimension of human nature, and really trying to use that to your advantage as sort of a way to hack the mundane.
Totally. See, this is why I'm sorry for, like, you know, fanboying out a little bit here, but like, the reason when I found your book and started, like, I followed you on Twitter, I was like, holy shit, I have to have this woman on my podcast, because there are so many people out there. Yeah. Well, there are so many people out there who are doing witchcraft, right? They're doing witchcraft. And to them, it's like, you have to do it this way. And even the ones who don't say you have to do it this way, it's like, well, you have to do it within this particular set of ways then. Right. Yeah. And it's like, most of it is aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to look witchy. You don't have to be witchy to be fucking witchy. Like witchy is understanding the things that you're talking about. That's what it is to me. I don't think it's do the spell this way, or, you know, a religious approach or an objective approach. It's the being comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's being comfortable with the fact that we don't know jack shit, but we do know that we're powerful, and that we can, through these weird acts of symbolism and mind, manifest incredible things. Like, I love the spirit model, but I also acknowledge that, like, I could be wrong about it. I could totally be wrong. It's very possible that I'm wrong. And so I try to teach all the models, and why not speak a language that speaks to more people?
Absolutely. And like, I think for some people, it can be really helpful to have a framework. And I think that's how people get kind of caught up in that, is that number one, informational power. People love to have informational power. So if they feel like they know something other people don't know, or they feel like they can feel like they're doing it right, there's a sense of belonging. There's a sense of power there that, you know, sometimes people don't feel like they're getting from other elements of their life, which is fine. And that's, you know, something I think that, is you just kind of have to have an understanding of just human behavior to kind of get that part of it. I think that there's also, I mean, the way that I look at it, okay, so like, I have my car seat is broken. My car seat is like, it's like the backrest thing. So my husband likes it really like back, which I'm like, holy fuck, like, what in the lowrider shit is this? Like, I get in the car, I'm like, oh my God, my back can't take it. So I like it up, but it's an automatic one. And the way that it is it's broken. And we've like tried to get it fixed, and they said it was fixed, but it's like clearly not fixed. So we have to like do every time we get in, if we do have to move it, we agree to like compromise. But I'll tell you, sometimes I get in and it's obviously been fucked up. But anyway, that's a whole other side. And so you kind of gonna have to like fuck with the button a little bit, right? And like, so there's like this combination of like trying to get it up. So I'm like holding the button this way, doing this. I'm trying to do it this different way every time. And occasionally it'll catch and it'll work. And I kind of see magic like that, in the sense that like, who knows? Like, I don't know the mechanism of what, like, if I knew a consistent way to make it work the same time, multiple times, I would just fucking do that. Clearly that's not the way it's worked, but I don't care. As long as the seat goes up, I'm fine. So that's kind of how I view magic as like the banging on the TV with the bunny ears, because the static is coming. You smack it a couple times and then good. It works, right? So
right. And everyone's got a different way of smacking it, right? But
like, yeah, so it doesn't necessarily mean the same person's going to approach it the same way, or that if you smack it this way one time and you smack it this way the other time, it's going to work. Like, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not it's working, right? Whether it's not, right. It's working is only something that you can really determine through your subjective experience.
Yeah. Okay. Here's an example of that I think is interesting. Okay. I used to do sigil magic very much in the way that's described in Liber Null. I would create an intention. I would get rid of the excess letters. I would mix the letters and create a sigil, right? That's pretty standard sigil magic. And it worked very well for me. Then when I started studying Norse paganism and learning about runes, my mind latched onto the runes. Like, I think I understand runes better than I understand English letters sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I don't do sigil magic that way anymore. I create bind runes. Mm-hmm. Now, and they work better. And so if you like go to my TikTok, you can see exactly how I cast a spell. That's my way of doing it. It's not based on anything other than my own experience and like building something that works for me. Right now, here's the question. Does it work for me because my mind latched onto this, and because it has that, you know what I mean? Like that lacks that aesthetic, like I like this. And so it works better for me. Or is it that? Or is it because bind runes are objectively more powerful, and because Odin is a more powerful god than whatever it was I was working with before? And my answer is, who fucking cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
It just works better. It works better for me. That's all I care about.
Exactly. And that's the thing that gets me, is I see a lot of, I feel like, okay, this is maybe a side rant, but I feel like we live in a time right now where anybody can go on the internet and say anything. That's literally totally what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like, it's really interesting, because every day I feel like I log on the internet by choice and just get oppressed with like the worst takes imaginable. And I think that a lot of people don't understand the content cycle. And I think people don't understand that people get incentivized for having like, oh, you can only use this herb in this, what, like if that becomes a highly shareable thing, that becomes incentivized. People start thinking it's true, and they start all of a sudden outsourcing their authority rather than trusting their inner felt experience of what works, what doesn't work. And then people get disconnected. And then you get a lot of people that are like, this just isn't for me. This just isn't working out. I'm just doing it wrong, blah, 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 which is like all the wrong. It's just because because this idea that they're not doing it the right way, and they see something and it triggers maybe a wound they have through their field that's saying like, I never do things right. And so they just abandon it, right? And I think that the more people can come to their own personal power, their own personal responsibility, and the more that people can kind of interpret and develop their own magic or practice or whatever the hell you want to call it, based on their subjective experience of what works, what doesn't work, and then not getting attached to it from one moment to the next, right? I think the more that people can do that, the better. Now, does that mean that certain things maybe aren't propped up by collective energy? No, not necessarily. But again, who cares, right? Like, it totally, doesn't,
right?
Does it really matter? Because the thing is, like, I mean, personally, I don't do the Wheel of the Year because some of the Celtic stuff, like, I just don't like vibe with. So why would I do that? And so if I were to be a thing where, you know, oh, I didn't practice such and such for this thing. And it's like, well, if you don't feel called to do it, you're not going to do it. And then you're going to see it as a personal failure rather than not being motivated to do something that doesn't fucking pull on your, like, your, what you're talking about. We all feel it. I feel it in my chest. It's like a fish hook. And so when I know something works, I know, or I have an intuitive sense about something, I know because I feel it like a hook in my chest.
It lights you up. Like, it's like, this is the thing. I like this. This is how I want to do it.
And the thing about that is, like, people, there's going to be people out there, whether it be content cycle or not, there's going to be people out there that don't agree with you, and they're going to think their way works.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And maybe because their worldview and belief again, the only way we can interact with anything is that it has to be done XYZ way, because that's what's happening to their personal experience. You have to be able to be so crystal clear and so rooted in your own, like in your own authority, that you have to have people saying that to you and just not give a fuck. Because
yes,
you don't get a totally. Prize. Like, all you really get from trying to do something somebody else's way is, I mean, all you really get from doing that is basically learning whether or not you're doing, feeling like you're doing it right or wrong. But like, even if you're doing it quote unquote right and it doesn't feel right, it's, you're not getting anything from that. So what's the point? So it ends up being really interesting. And like the example that I use, because I'm like really great at like terrible metaphors, but the one that I always use is like, people say lavender is for calm, but like, say when you were like 3 years old, you're like, granny like beat your ass with a lavender switch, like that's probably not going to signify calm for you, right? So it's right. Like there's a certain level, like what I teach is like, yes, there's correspondences, but there's also personal correspondences, and I think those will always trump whatever's out there.
Yeah,
yeah, totally. Because I think totally. That in your own personal workings, your personal correspondences, your personal energy is always going to be more powerful than that collective piece. It's not like that collective piece doesn't work as well for certain things, but if you're doing something for yourself, if you look at it from a psychology perspective, it's called priming. So certain things will prime your brain, and all it is a priming. So if you feel more confident, like, and I talk about it with work I do, usually I talk about it as in like the little black dress effect. If somebody puts on a little black dress and they feel like they look amazing, then they feel amazing, then all of a sudden they're projecting this feeling of confidence and amazingness. But then what happens is that's going to strengthen your magic. Does it mean that, you know, objectively there's not something bigger to the collective? No, but like if you're actually doing something for you, you're going to be priming your brain to be in a space where you're going to get into that state of gnosis like more quickly, or you're going to get into that state of maybe you're using a confidence archetype. You're going to get into that state more quickly, more effectively, right? So all of that really, all it really does is help us to focus our will, which is the whole point, right? Is to focus and direct your will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, what's interesting is that when you do it someone else's way, like let's say you are a Thelemite and a follower of Aleister Crowley, like to the T, to the letter, you're doing everything his way, you're feeding his energy.
Yeah.
Not yours. You're priming, like the more, and this is, and I'm like, listen, I have mixed feelings about Crowley to everyone out there. Watch the last episode. We talked about it a lot. Okay. But anyways, like it doesn't have to be Crowley. It could be anybody. Okay. But if you're following someone else's magic teachings to a T, saying you have to do it exactly this way, and then you're doing it that way, and then maybe hundreds of other people are doing that way, they're all feeding energy into like, that's the correct way. And they're feeding all that energy to that guy. And that's how cult leaders get to be these overly charismatic, confident people. All these other people are feeding their energy to them by doing shit that person's way. Why would you do that? Do it your own way. Don't become a cult leader, but do it your own way. And then don't tell other people how to do it, you know, or okay, share like general ideas.
I got to take notes. Okay. So he says, don't become a cult leader. That like really yeah, screwed with my like fourth quarter plans.
But you know how many people like go to the jungle and have a psychedelic experience and come back and say, I'm a shaman now. You know, yeah. Or read one book and they're like, oh yeah, no, I totally understand magic now. I'm gonna start a course. We're gonna fucking, you know, it's just stop it. And those are the people who become cult leaders.
But
and
you have I think you have to be like become a shaman of your own experience. I think that's yes. Really just everyone's got to form and cultivate that thing within themselves. And I think that the more of us do that on an individual level, the more it heals the collective in general. Because number that's one, true. You're acting as a beacon. So other people see and they get influenced by your energy and the fact that, you know, the ripple effect that you have through the collective. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's a really important thing as well.
Yeah, just, you know, I think that personalization makes magic powerful. That's what yeah. We're saying. We're saying it like this big, long way, but personalization makes magic powerful. And I wanted to say like what you were talking about before, it's like right there in your book, stop shit talking yourself, right? Yeah. That's incredibly important too. When it
maybe
comes
don't
to,
do that.
Yeah. Don't do that at all, right?
Yeah.
The magical mindset, in my opinion, is walking around with a type of like well thought out controlled arrogance. Everything I do always works out for me.
Yeah.
Right. Like you keep, you know, that, yeah, that sounds really arrogant, but if you can have that attitude without being like, without trying to shove it down other people's throats, have it just within you for you, things will work out for you.
But doesn't a lot that more show,
than they like, would otherwise.
Doesn't that show how fucked up our culture is, that it can sound obnoxious for somebody to say that rather than for somebody to say, I hate Mondays.
Like, right.
It's,
yeah.
It's so weird that we accept, it's like we bond over like things being shitty. Like that's such a relatable way to bond and to connect. Whereas if you go out and you say, I genuinely love my life, I genuinely feel like I have power.
Toxic positivity. How dare you?
It's like not, it's not a, yeah, it's just weird to me. I'm like, it, same it with like weird. Confidence. If you're considered confident, it's like triggering. And it's just a very, it's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. The fact that if you actually give anything a little bit of thought, less than just scraping the surface, you're like, oh, none of this shit makes sense, right? Like, and if you're telling yourself you're shit all the time and then you're wondering why your life feels shitty, well, it's like not really that far of a leap to kind of figure out the whole aspect of like self-fulfilling prophecy there, right? Because that's another thing, is like there's different ways, like there's people that believe they have this like external locus of control where they think things just happen to them. And then there's people that have that more internal, they're more willing to make actions in alignment with feeling that they can influence their outcome. Whereas somebody that believes that shit just happens to them, it's like learned helplessness. They're just going to like roll over. So totally. I think it's, and it's not like that has to be the way that you are forever. It's something that we can all choose to change at any given moment. Is it easy? No. But is it like simple? Well, yeah, you just have to like do the reps.
It's like lifting 1,000 pounds. It's not complicated. It's very, very hard. It's not complicated. You just push as hard as you can.
Is it uncomfortable? Does it take practice? Does it take stretching your comfort zone? Does it take maybe rearranging your priorities? Does it take maybe exposing yourself up for being vulnerable for other people to decide that they just hate you or they don't like you anymore or anything? Yeah. But like, ultimately, like what's more worth it to you? Are you wanting to be miserable forever? Or do you want to actually take the reins?
And when the collective energy is an energy of misery, it becomes really hard to break free from that, because it is uncomfortable to become an individual, to individuate, as Carl Jung would put it, right? To separate from the collective. And if the collective energy is currently miserable, of course you want to separate from it. You don't want to be miserable, but misery loves company, right? And it's like, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. You have to walk your own path, because that's where your power really is. Yes. Right. And again, because we're running out of time, I just want to say, if you like, this is the book. If you want to like really get a good grip on this mindset stuff, and you know, read about it in a way that maybe isn't like shoving it down your throat, it's just very relatable. It's a wonderful book. Amanda, you're an awesome author. Thank you. I hate that I've got to get going, but thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was awesome. Come back when your new book comes out.
Yeah. We'll
talk about that one.
Yeah, that's going to be super exciting.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much again, and I will see you next time. Bye.